We continue this week looking at how God saves a person. Children, you might be thinking, I just want to know if I'm saved, if I'm going to heaven. I understand that. But if we don't know how God saves a person, it's going to be pretty hard to know if God saved us. So what do you say we keep going? I'll try to make it as easy for you to understand as I can with God's help. So far, we've thought about God's special call, that powerful call which changes a person for the rest of his life. The change that happens is what the Bible calls the new birth. But this new birth leads to something else, something wonderful. And we want to think about that today. A courtroom. I don't think too many of us have ever been to a courtroom. That's a place where people who might have broken the law go, and where a judge decides whether that person did break the law or not. If he did, what punishment should that person get? Whether that's a fine or to go to jail or for how long? Let's just pretend that a person did do something horrible, and it was proved that they did it, so there's no question that the person did it. Now pretend that person is standing before the judge. Before he says anything, you can see his head go down because he knows he did wrong. He's ashamed. He dreads the moment when he expects the judge to say guilty, meaning you did that crime and I know it. And then he's going to expect to hear how long he's going to have to spend in jail because of how awful the thing he did was. Now, children, I'm talking about all this because we are all guilty. We should be doing good all the time. We should never once sin. But none of us never sin. We are all sinners. We are all guilty. So now pretend we're not in a courtroom, but standing in front of God himself. He knows every sin we ever did. He knows when we lied. He knows when we didn't obey dad or mom. He knows when we weren't kind to brother or sister. He knows everything about us. And now what is he going to say as we're standing there in front of him? Will he say you are not guilty? Will he say you haven't done all those naughty things? Things that I've seen or heard you do all your life? Will he say that? Well, my answer is maybe. You might ask, maybe. If God knows all about the naughty things I ever did, isn't he going to say guilty? Won't he punish me for all those naughty things? And again I say, maybe. Listen to why I answer that way. A big problem. So back to the courtroom, standing before God. When God shows us by his grace and spirit that we are sinners, that we are very naughty, we'll be like that guilty man standing before the judge. Our head will be down. We will be ashamed. But God shows us our sins, children. He makes us feel guilty and ashamed, not so that we would just feel bad the rest of our lives. No. He wants us to feel awful about our sins so that we pray to him for mercy, so that he wouldn't send us to hell after all. But now if that man we first talked about, the one who did those awful crimes and knew he deserved to be punished, if that man would just say to the judge, I'm sorry, please show me mercy, would it be right for the judge to simply say, okay, you won't be punished? Let's just say that man stole lots of money. Shouldn't he have to give the money back? If that man, God forbid, killed someone, can he just be let go without being punished? Would it be right for the judge to just let him go simply because he asked to be let go? If you did something naughty, or if I did, would it be right for our dad or mom to just say, oh, that's okay, you won't be punished? No, that wouldn't be right, would it? We're all sinners. We've done lots and lots and lots of wrong, sinful things. And we did them against God, our very, very good God. So it would not be right for God to just say, oh, that's okay. No, God is too good to let us just go on and on in our sins. But he won't just say, sin is okay, I won't punish you. So now what do? We must be punished. Maybe. An amazing Savior. Now, I know right now you're wondering, Pastor, why do you keep saying maybe? If we are sinners, if we're all guilty of doing naughty things over and over, why don't you just say God has to punish us instead of saying maybe he will? Well, this is a really, really important part of our time together. So I want you to listen very, very carefully, okay? One more time, we're going back to the courtroom. Are you coming along? What if just before the judge says guilty and sends the wicked man to jail, to prison, what if someone else speaks up? Who is that person, you ask? Just a moment, you'll see. So this other person stands up and says, Judge, I will go to prison in place of this guilty man. You can imagine how surprised the judge would be. Sir, you will go to prison instead of this wicked man? Yes, I will, he says. I am his friend. I feel sorry for him. I would ask you, Judge, to let him go, and I will take his punishment instead. Children, this is what Jesus did for sinners. He came into this world to suffer the punishment that sinners like us deserve. He never once sinned, never. But he let himself be punished, not for his own sins, because he didn't have any, but for the sins of all those he came to save. And what is most amazing of all, God says all that a sinner needs to do is to honestly say to him that we have sinned, that we are deeply sorry for our sins, and that in our deepest heart, we do trust that what Jesus did for sinners is all I need to be saved from my sins and then to never, ever go to hell. You see, children, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not go to hell, but instead will have everlasting life, will go to heaven. Now, you might be thinking, that seems way too easy. And sadly, there are people who think that, and so they don't believe God. They don't believe what God says in his word about how to be saved. But if it was so easy, then pretty much anyone who hears the gospel would be saved. But we know that's not the case. Many hear God's call but don't listen. Remember, we heard about that on Monday. But when God powerfully calls us, when he changes us, when he makes us born again, then we listen. And then we are truly sorry for our sins. And then we tell them to God. We say how deeply sorry we are for them. And then we do trust in Jesus. What he has done for sinners. What he has suffered for sinners. And that he has taken my place and suffered for me. And because Jesus suffered so much, those who really, truly trust in him, what he has done, they will not go to hell ever. Instead, they will know God's love. They will be with him forever in heaven. They will meet the very Jesus who did so much for them. Now, maybe this has been hard for you to understand, children. I hope not. But if it was, here's a simple way to remember. He for me. That means Jesus for me. If we truly trust in him, then even though I've done so many, many sins, if I trust in him who suffered for sinners, then I too will be saved. You see, this is what we call the gospel. This is how a guilty sinner like me, by forsaking my sins, by looking to him with deep sorrow in my heart, by pleading for mercy, for Jesus' sake, because of what he did, I not only can be saved, I will be saved. And the same is true for you. Jesus for sinners. That, boys and girls, is the gospel.